Yeah, the song's leading us to praise the Lord, and sharing and everything is really good. I was at the back just kind of thinking about stuff, and had a really weird experience yesterday. We went to watch Logan. He was playing hockey at Miller. And so, Logan was playing hockey. We went to visit with the boys, to be fair, but we watched some hockey at the same time. And it's really weird because you walk into this small town rink at Pontex, and we walk up to them, and coming the other direction is J.J. Hunter. It's like, I know him. I mean, he doesn't know me, but I know him. And so we're standing around there, and it's all these people from Bible school that we saw like 8, 10 years ago, the teachers and everything. And there's J.J. Hunter, Hunter Brothers. Okay, anyways, kind of a big, they're a group from Shaunavon. They're really good. And it was kind of weird because we just went inside to warm up for a few minutes and thinking about all this and going, I wanted to visit with him, but who am I? I'm a nobody. And immediately the next thought that I would say the Holy Spirit brought to me is that you're not a nobody, you're my child, right? Just went, okay, didn't go talk to him, but that didn't matter. Anyways, weird situation, just different. But a good reminder, maybe some of this is sinking in with me. So that's a V-Strom 650. I don't own it. V-Strom Suzuki 650. A friend of a friend called it the Swiss Army bike of Swiss Army knife of bikes. It's good for gravel, good for highway, multi-purpose bike. You can ride long distances or you can just zip around the countryside. So I'm kind of looking into getting this type of bike instead of another one. But the way this all came about was visiting with the fellow that we're working with the bees with, and he does professional dirt bike riding. And so he was talking about this, and then I said, you know, there's this and this that I might like something for. So he could talk a long time about bikes. Talk to my buddy Kevin, and he could talk a long time about bikes. And you go out on a bike, and you get around these guys, and you know what they can do? They can talk a long time about bikes. That's good, Carl. It's a nice bike and nicer to look at than I am up here, so we'll get rid of that. But it's interesting because you go online and you can find out whatever you want about these bikes. People have traveled all over the world with them. That's true of all sorts of bikes. They'll tell you all about everything they've done. They'll tell you all about having fixed it. And they'll tell you what the best bike is. And that's one of the best adventure bikes, they're called. Not a dual sport. Dual sport is different, I'm learning. That's one of the best adventure bikes. And they will sing the praises of this adventure bike because they know it, because they're passionate about it. And I thought that was kind of a neat intro to what we want to look at today. If you find someone that's passionate about something, it will be on the internet, and they will be willing to tell you all about it. And if you have something that you're passionate about, you tend to gather together with others who are. Model trains is another one I'm learning about. People are passionate about model trains. Model trains. Yes, the model train setups. We were at a model train show with the boys last winter. And I talked to the one guy, I said, so you guys ever run scenarios on this big track? And he kind of sheepishly does the, yeah, we download some stuff sometimes and you know, we see how long it takes us to move stuff around. And I'm like, I think that's kind of cool. He felt a little embarrassed. But they sing the praises of it because they're passionate about it. That's kind of how the book of Psalms is about who God is. And as we get to know him, it's easier to sing praises about him, to tell the praises of him, because we know him. And that's what I think has actually been happening a lot this morning already. That's what I wanted to share, even with him calling me his child. It's like, yeah, that's just who he is. It's who I am, right? So I did this a couple of weeks ago, and I actually have a PowerPoint for it that I didn't bring because I didn't realize we could do it that easily. So we're going to go through a comparison of Greek and Hebrew words for praise and worship. I'm neither a Greek nor a Hebrew scholar, so I relied very heavily on Strong's numbering and lexicons. So if you see the H numbers in there or the G numbers, you can Google those and it will give you more information. I use Blue Letter Bible. There's others, but that's the Strong's numbers. So Hebrew words for praise in the Old Testament. Halal. Where we get hallelujah, hallelalalal, hallelujah, right? To shine, to flash forth light, to give glory to cause to shine, to make bright, to praise, to glorify. The root of it is radiance. Tehillah also has halal at its root. I don't understand Hebrew. Has halal at its root. The meaning is laudation or praise, commentation. A song which exalts God, a praise song or hymn of praise. Shabak, to address in a loud tone, to be loud, to glorify, to pacify through words, which is an interesting one. In the New Testament, the equivalent idea is when Jesus calmed the storm with his words. So Hebrew uses words in a wide variety of ways sometimes. Toda. An extension of the hand, as in to offer something, a thank offering or a sacrifice, a confession, a vow. Barak, to kneel and receive a blessing, to bless another. There's times when kneeling in Scripture is connected to obedience. This isn't it. This is connected to blessing. It's a different concept than kneeling in obedience or bowing down to. Zamar, to sing praises, to celebrate, make music, to play a musical instrument. All of these words are translated praise. Yada, to cast or throw down, to give thanks, praise, to confess the name of God. In the New Testament, don't go with my pronunciations. You can look these up online if you want. Epanios, approbation, commendation, praise. It doesn't seem to be a musical term, rather a term of praise that if you're praising someone for doing a good job. Solo, which you can guess is to sing psalms of praise. And anio, to praise, extol, to sing praises and honor to God. You get the sense, as you study these words, and where they're used, there's a lot of stuff going on as we praise God. It's not subdued. And as you read through the book of Psalms, and we're going to touch on some of it, it's very energetic, very passionate. We're going to go really quick through the Hebrew word and Greek words for worship. And I've touched on these before. I just find it's really good to look at the two together. Shikah is the one that's used as worship most in the New Testament. Abad is used more times, but it's translated in other ways. It's used 170 times in the Old Testament. It means to depress or prostrate oneself in homage, to bow oneself down. Not a general sense of worship, as in a big guy. Like, it's a very specific word. To bow down to as an act of respect before a superior being. So when it says, come worship the Lord, it's the idea of bowing down to a superior being. Abad, to serve, toil, labor, to enslave, to make weary, to worship, to serve in a positive sense. It can be directed toward things, people, or God. So interestingly, it's the same word used to go out and work a field, because you're doing a work of service in the field at times. And so you kind of have to work with some of the Hebrew to understand the different places that it's used. In the Greek, kind of an equivalent of shikah is proskuneo, To kiss the hand or prostrate oneself in homage, to fall upon the knees and touch the ground with the forehead. So to fall on your knees, touch the ground with the forehead. Some of us have trouble getting up already from that. And sometimes it's nice to do that outwardly, but it's more about what's going on inwardly, right? Done towards people of superior rank. Latreo, to serve, render religious service, homage to worship. Sibo or Sibomai, may, to revere or worship. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship, proskuneo the Lord, and serve, latreo, him only. And then John 4:23, when it talks about worship in spirit and truth, is proskuneo. So a bit of a quick comparison. If we're to look at praise and what it is and how it's used, it's exalting God for who he is and what he's done. And that's what we were doing today. It seems to have a lot to do with taking all of our emotions, all of everything going on in life, and choosing to shine forth God from wherever we are at. Worship has far more to do with bowing down and submitting to him for what we need and in what we do. I had a conversation, and I won't say who, though they maybe will know, about a month ago, and talking about, and it got me going down this path of talking about the place of emotion in worship and the worship time. And it's a dangerous subject to broach. I did in Beachy, but I will here too, because well, there's a song that came to mind the other day with only fear and good judgment holding us back. Dan knows the song probably. Worship, as I read these words and as I've read scripture, seems to me far more to be an act of the will. We choose to submit ourselves to the Father. We choose to bow down to him. We, like Ken was saying in Sunday school last week, to take refuge in him. He is our source. He is the one that we bow before. Praise on the other hand. Okay, see, I grew up in a Lutheran church. You guys know that. We're pretty subdued in the Lutheran churches. Is that right, Adele? Very subdued in the Lutheran church. My mom, it used to bother her that every verse of the hymn that they were singing would go slower than the last, and she was playing piano. It happened, especially at funerals. She's like, it just dragged on and on, and she's trying to speed them up, and the congregations go. Anyway, we're a pretty subdued bunch. Went to an MB Bible school, Mennonite Brethren Bible School. Noreen, were they pretty subdued, or were they, would you call them subdued?
They
weren't a really, like, there was some energy there because it's a bunch of youth, but it was still pretty, pretty subdued, right? And I'm going to say my conclusion on this, I'm not 100% comfortable with. And that is that praise should involve a lot of emotion. Shouldn't it? Isn't that? Now, here's where I can get into trouble. Because as I read, and we're going to read in Psalm 42, which is a marvelous psalm. It doesn't involve producing or reproducing emotions that we desire. It involves bringing what's going on in us emotionally, even to the forefront, saying, Lord, Why so downcast, O my soul? Yet I will praise him. Let the emotions be there, but choosing to praise him and exalt him even then, even in the midst of what's going on emotionally. Does that make sense? Am I out to lunch? The danger is, and I do this. I caught myself this morning doing this. I'm like, oh, Wes, I look for a certain feeling before I feel like I'm praising God. And if I'm pursuing an emotion as I sing, that is awful close and maybe is in fact idol worship. If I'm bringing him my emotions, that's awesome because that's what he wants. He wants what's going on in our heart. If I'm trying to reproduce what I experienced 2 weeks ago in Beachy, or I'm trying to reproduce what happened at a youth event or a conference or last week, I'm not really either bringing what's really going on in me to him, nor am I really seeking him. I'm seeking something else. And it's so easy to do. I just assume nobody had any tomatoes. That's why nothing's been thrown yet. So, Psalm 34, 1-3. And this is when David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left, he says, I will extol Barak, the Lord at all times. His praise to Hila will always be on my lips. I will glory Halal in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's kind of a weird situation, and David says what? He says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I haven't even touched on the words for rejoice or thanksgiving, but that's all in there too, right? Psalm 42. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul long pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of the Lord, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. So that's what he used to do. And says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Well, he actually just explained why. Then he says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And you go through psalm after psalm, and as they praise God, they praise him not by feeling like they're in a good place to do so. They praise him, and David especially, this wasn't David, they praise him out of whatever was going on in their life. God delivered them, they praised him.